My father is dying. That's what I thought in early April, a few days after I'd made reservations to fly down to Fort Myers, Florida, at the end of the month to visit him, my mom, and my sisters and brother who live in Southwest Florida, scattered from Sarasota to Bonita Springs. Having made the hard decision to move out of the house they'd bought 10 or more years ago, Dad and Mom had been in their new home at a nice assisted living facility since January. At the old house, Dad, determined not to be confined, had gotten in the habit of riding around the block in his electric scooter a couple times a week. He continued a similar habit in the new facility, navigating with peripheral vision. He'd ride down the elevator, out the front door, through the parking lot, and turn right onto the sidewalk on Cypress Lake Boulevard for about a half block to a driveway, which was the turnaround spot, and ride back. In early February, a month after his 91st birthday, on such an excursion, he'd gotten too close to the curb on his turn and tipped over the edge into the four-lane Cypress Lake Boulevard. Traffic stopped. Motorists came to his aid and called 911. He told someone his phone number, and they called my mom. Here is where a finding joy in just about anything opportunity came up. One of my sisters, Beth, I think, was there with my mom, got the message that Dad was apparently not seriously injured, but on the way to the nearest hospital in an ambulance. She sent a text to the rest of us and headed to the hospital. Honestly, we're not shocked or surprised to hear that our dad, 91 years old, is on the way to the hospital in an ambulance, or that one of our siblings who lives nearby is taking him there. It's an all too regular occurrence. But the joy we get from the love we express, exchange, and feel in our supportive, encouraging messages to each other in our group chats can be nearly overwhelming. These group discussions among my siblings and I have been ongoing, sometimes 40 or more messages per day, many only a few words, for quite some time now. Maybe since my dad suffered his first broken hip a few years ago. Driving to Mom and Dad's first thing in the morning from Blake, who lives 50 miles north in Port Charlotte. Heading over there now from Beth, who lives 15 minutes away. Thanks, love you, heart, 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 heart. From Brooke, who lives in Sarasota, heading down after work on Friday. The way my sisters give and give and drop everything to rush to my parents' aid is obviously a testament to the great job they did parenting. But it fills my heart and my siblings' hearts, I know, with joy. My brother, Bobby Joe, though he has a hard, demanding job as a restaurant manager, makes extra effort to go on his precious days off. And the special relationship he has developed with our dad in the last few months is a source of strength and succor to Dad. This gift they give each other, my brother sitting and talking with our dad, and Dad finding such value and acknowledging that to Bobby Joe and us all, fills our hearts with joy. So after that fall into the street in January, the staff at the hospital sent Dad home. After the fall from the scooter, having found no injuries other than bruising. But 3 weeks later, when still complaining from pain in his groin, he went to the hospital again, had a CAT scan, and we learned his other hip was broken from the fall. He had surgery within a few days due to his not being able to walk very well, and knowing that is the bar by which hip surgery recovery is measured, I thought he'd not make it out of recovery, but he did. So back to that day in early April when I thought my father was dying. He was back in the hospital for an emergency procedure to find the cause of blood in his urine. And after a few days of post-op care, he was not responding well. The doctors, my sister with power of attorney, and my mom made the difficult decision to admit him to hospice care. After a few days, he'd improved a little and could speak. I called him on the phone, and he was confused and disoriented, saying he thought he was in a hotel or something. I hoped he'd last until I got there at the end of the month. Within a week, he was much improved, and our visit was a joyful one. For many years, I've made a habit of calling my dad on Sunday evenings. He answers the phone enthusiastically, calling my name, Brucey, knowing when the phone rings at 7 o'clock on Sunday night that it's me. And that gives him and me great joy. His survival and recovery stories are joyful ones. I think it's because he wants to be alive, because his life is joyful. Scientific studies show people become more joyful as they age. But more about that later. And now, another story of joy. Remember the ups and downs and emotional devastation of high school? I didn't quite get it at the time, but high school was hard. Not academically, but socially. I lacked self-confidence, was introverted, still sort of am, if that's still a thing. I didn't have a lot of friends, didn't date much. I'm not sure why. Fort Myers High School Green Wave, class of 77, had our 40th class reunion 2 years ago. At least 60 classmates attended. It was marvelous, a love fest. We had none or very little of the anxiety left over during the weekend's events. On Saturday night, we danced, visited with each other, and remembered those fun and hard times with unabashed affection for each other. Some classmates came later, and we greeted them joyously, unbound by the silly cliques that defined high school friendships for many. I find myself getting happier and feeling more joy as I age. That experience is consistent with what scientists are learning. Study from Stanford University shows that as people get older, they become more emotionally stable and happier. Using functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, the researchers found that the emotional processing center of the brain, the amygdala, fired more actively in older people when they looked at positive images than it did with negative images. Younger brains reacted to both equally. Sort of, but not directly related, but I can't resist. Last week on Hidden Brain with Shankar Vedantam on NPR, Vedantam quoted a study referenced in Predisposed, Liberals, Conservatives, and the Biology of Political Differences. Here's what the book looks like. The study showed that liberals' amygdalas fired more actively when looking at positive pictures, and conservatives' amygdalas fired more actively when looking at negative pictures. That study and others show some genetic and evolutionary value in the conservatives' reaction, being more emotional and perhaps more alert makes a creature in the wild more ready to respond to threats, which some people seem to sense are lurking around every corner and behind every unfamiliar face. Anyway, back to joy. For my whole life, I have enjoyed probably more than anything else being outside in nature. I love to walk in the woods, observe the birds, bees, and other living things. Here's another example of finding joy in just about everything. I love to get down on my hands and knees and dig in the dirt. See what I can find just hanging out there in the terra firma. Have you ever noticed that every bit of dirt, no matter how small, is made up of smaller bits of dirt? Just get down on your hands and knees and see. I find great joy in staring, using all my senses to study a blade of grass, a gurgling brook, the smallest bits of mineral sediment that make up stone pressed together by millions or billions of years of heat and pressure, the infinite variety of green on display among the many species of trees we're fortunate to share space with here in North Georgia, the choruses of peeper frogs, cicadas, and katydids, the three-dimensional space that makes up a cubic inch of the bark of an aged black walnut tree. All right. This was supposed to be a little bit smoother than this. This photo is by Olivia Siegel at Brandeis University. You know what? Did I forget to put this on? There we go. Olivia Siegel at Brandeis University. You know what else gives me great joy? Breathing, especially fresh air. I'll be right back. Walking gives me great joy. I go fast. The rhythm of footfall after footfall, the sense of progress, I'm going somewhere. The exposure to a continual rush of oral, visual, olfactory, and other sensuous inputs, the beating of heart against the chest wall, and the breath passing in and out of each nostril. Oh yeah, baby. When I walk con mucho gusto and with joie de vivre. And cycling. Great joy born of camaraderie, trust, skill, and practice comes to the cyclist who rides a bicycle 25 miles an hour, 12 inches behind the rear wheel of a rider to the fore, and from knowing another rider 12 inches behind feels that same joy. Many of you know that I am the official Birmingham Park volunteer bluebird nest box monitor. I know, you're envious. Birmingham Park is in the northwest corner of the city of Milton and Fulton County. 3 years ago, the city installed three bluebird nest boxes in the park. Starting just after Valentine's Day every year, I go to the park, at first once a week, and then after, I observe a completed nest in any of the boxes twice a week. In 3 years, I've observed about 20 attempts by three species at fledging birds by the parents. Though the entry holes in the boxes are designed at 1.5 inches in diameter to allow a bird no larger than a bluebird entry, smaller birds, obviously, can get in. In addition to the eastern bluebirds, Carolina chickadees and brown-headed nuthatches, both of which are smaller than bluebirds, have laid and incubated eggs in and fledged young from the Birmingham Park nest boxes. More of the attempts have not fledged young than have. On a weekday in July 2 years ago, I convinced a coworker, Sri, to come with me to the park after work, almost certain we'd experience the supreme joy of the young bluebirds leaving the nest, that is, fledging. Sri is not the most outdoorsy type. Light rain fell as we pulled into the parking lot. Thunder rumbled off toward Canton. Neither of us wanted to get struck by lightning, but I would have found great joy in getting caught afoot in the woods by a sudden downpour. Not Sri. The nest box with the fledging bluebirds was a short walk from where we sat in our car. I had to make him get out and walk with me, and the rain almost stopped completely. The picture on the cover of the Order of Worship today, which you may not have noticed, or if you had noticed, not studied carefully, taken by me that day, reveals what we saw when we walked up on the southernmost nest box. The faint of heart might want to plug their ears and hum a happy tune for the next 30 seconds. Nest boxes used to monitor nesting bluebirds generally have a hinged front, side, or top panel to facilitate observation and data gathering. Seeing this, I opened the box, and we observed the snake with one nestling head first in its mouth, and its long body pressing the other three against the bottom and walls of the box. I had spent the previous 30 to 35 days, the typical elapsed time between when the last egg of a clutch is laid and when the birds fledge, driving to the park, walking to the three nest boxes, and observing the status as frequently as every other day. I snapped a few more photos and recorded some video, but didn't intervene. The sky was overcast and dark, the rain had started again, and we walked back to the car. As I mentioned, most of the attempts I've witnessed in 3 years have not resulted in young flying out of the nest and embarking on their avian life journey. So one doesn't want to get emotionally attached to the young. I'm sure you're wondering where I'm going to find that silver lining here. Easy. I'm a scientist, albeit an amateur one. And that's the part of me that found joy in observing this exquisite yin-yang scene of life and death intertwined. I'm going to end with a few words about gratitude. Many scientific and medical studies show a correlation between people expressing gratitude and gaining a sense of well-being, though some studies fail to support the conclusion. Owen Griffith, who along with his spouse Tricia and son Asher are members of Human, sends out a weekly email with cool quotes, as he calls them. His book, Gratitude, A Way of Teaching, was published by Rowan and Littlefield, in 2016. He turned it into an online course available at learn.gratefulness.org. I'm on that cool quotes email list, but like so many email lists to which I've subscribed with best intentions, I don't make the time to read it regularly. We've all got those email lists of good intentions, right? After getting that email for a couple of years and occasionally reading it, I decided to make a little change in my life. I put a reminder in my electronic calendar to send me a pop-up once a week on Saturday morning to be thankful, appreciative, and forgiving. Ugh. I think it helped, but how does one check off the task of being something? So I printed this off last night, and I printed it on two sides so it flips incorrectly on the short edge. So instead of just being able to turn these this way, I have to turn them this way. I didn't want to print it again because this is expensive. So now I've made another change. In his book, Owen says that gratitude really worked for him when he got in the daily habit of taking just a few minutes to make a gratitude list every day. I have a new reminder on my phone to do that, and I'm going to try it on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 3:55 p.m. In case I have a meeting at 4, I don't want it to pop up right while I'm starting the meeting. Let me leave you with this. Find time to do what brings you joy. And I'm glad to see that we have a little bit of extra time, because now we're going to do something fun. I wasn't sure we would get to do this, so I didn't put it in the order of service. We're going to do a little laughter yoga. This is adapted almost word for word from something Ida Abdelkhani, a communications and marketing expert, did at a TEDx event at Ohio State University. An astonishing 83% of Americans are stressed by their jobs. One in two of us struggles to stay happy. Well, I'm here to help you with that today by teaching you how to laugh for no reason at all. Why? Because when we laugh, our bodies release a flood of positive chemicals and neurotransmitters that stimulate our brains, our immune system, and our nervous system. In fact, when we laugh, our blood flow increases by about 50%. That's how we get the rosy cheeks. And laughing can actually burn calories. In fact, if you were to laugh for 15 minutes a day, you might lose 5 pounds a year. Laughter yoga was started in 1995 by a Dr. Madan Kataria in India. He found that our bodies and mind can't discern the difference between fake and real laughter. So we don't need a comedian, and we don't need a catalyst to reap the real benefits of laughter. Now we have to laugh for no reason. You a little bit uncomfortable with that, Alex? You have to fake it till you make it. Don't worry about what other people think or how it feels. The end game is a healthy life. Believe that you deserve to be happy and you deserve to laugh. That's what we're going to do today. You guys are already into it. So I'd like you to stand as you're willing and able. Get the blood flowing. Let's see. I got to get this right. Okay. Yeah, we're going to fake it till we make it. We're going to laugh for no reason because science tells us that in 45 to 90 seconds, your body begins to release that flood of neurotransmitters. And within about 2 minutes, fake laughter becomes real. Here we go. Who's ready to laugh? I can tell you all are. There are two primary techniques to laughter yoga. The first is breathing. The focus is on filling up your lungs, increasing the amount of oxygen, and increasing the blood flow. The second, of course, is laughter. The focus here is on deep belly laughter. It increases the circulation of our lymphatic systems and jumpstarts our immune system. So to warm up, everyone take a deep breath in, raise your hands up to the ceiling, and let your breath out with an audible ha. Ha! Great. Okay, now do it again. Big breath in. This time, laugh on your exhale. This is great. One more time. Take a deep breath in, fill up your lungs from the bottom of your belly, laugh it out. Nice job. Okay, now we're warmed up. For our first laughter yoga exercise, we're going to do something called cell phone laughter yoga. We talk on our cell phones all day long to connect with each other. So now, pull out your fake cell phone. Imagine you just heard the funniest joke ever and laugh into it. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Just take a deep breath and let it out. All right. Okay, good job. There are some funny jokes over here, people hearing on the other end of their phones. All right, now we're going to do the second laughter yoga exercise. This one is called handshake laughter. Shaking hands is something we do every day, and it helps us connect with others. But today, we're going to amplify it and connect with laughter as well. So now, we're going to shake hands with those around us, and look at them in the face and laugh as well. Okay, one more. For the last exercise, I'm going to let you decide what we're going to laugh about. So I'd like you to take a moment and think about what's been stressing you out the last few days. And we're going to take that and we're going to laugh about it. And we're going to use that to remind ourselves that we can't always change the outcome in life, but we can change how we react to them. So what's been stressing you out lately for the last few days? Call them out. I didn't hear that. Trump. Okay. All right. I guess that's a good one. We're allowed to Trump and traffic. Traffic. All right. So pick one of those two. And let's just imagine we're sitting in traffic or we're watching Trump. And let's laugh it out. Let's laugh it out. Okay? Ready? Laugh about it. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you just laughed for about 5 minutes, and nobody told a single joke. We actually laugh about 300 times a day as children, but as adults, only 30. I hope this has shown you how to bring laughter back into your life, to feel lighter and happier, and to laugh. It's within your power to make your life a joyful one. You decide.